This is Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life, the trials, the tribulations, and the triumphs. Discussions about how faith matters to you and our community. Only on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Support for Faith Matters is brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine. Now, here are your hosts, Ryan Price and David Cruz.
Welcome to Faith Matters. I'm Ryan Price, along with David Cruz on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. And today we have in the studio with us David Syme, who is the chairman of the Lubbock region of Happy Stank Bank and someone who has been a respected community leader around the Lubbock region in West Texas for 40-plus years. And David, I was so impressed with the caliber of this conversation, and especially with respect to what leadership is all about and the way that David expresses his understanding of what a leader is, and this idea of leadership being about service and even vulnerability, where he talks in this interview with what I thought was a compelling confession that just opens up the idea of leaders being human beings and open to being real.
I couldn't agree more. And like you, I've known David now for some time. I think our listeners who may not know David Syme are going to be really struck with how honest and how transparent. I think that's the word I would use to describe him. Somebody that has a lot of transparency in their lives, and he conveys that. So I'm hoping that our Faith Matters family is going to listen in and enjoy it as much as I did.
It's a certain sense in which integrity is meaning that which is outside and the face you put on for others is also the same one inside as well. And I think that that comes through in this conversation with David Syme. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Faith Matters on Lubbock's Voice of the Arts, 89.1.
This is Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts, hosted by Ryan Price and David Cruz, and brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine.
And welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm Ryan Price, along with David Cruz. And today in the studio, we are very excited to have with us the Lubbock Regional Chairman of Happy State Bank, David Syme, who has been a banker and a community citizen in Lubbock for over 40 years. And it's just a tremendous honor to have you with us today in the studio.
Thank
David,
you.
Welcome to you.
Thank you, Ryan. David,
we're very
honored to be with you.
Happy to have you. And
happy is the operative word.
we all share something in common. We're all native sons of Lubbock, and we're all very, very proud to be members of this community, and we're certainly proud of the work you do, and we're honored to call you friend.
I appreciate it. I feel the same way. Just a bit of clarification. I was actually born in Corpus Christi.
I like to say I'm native. The truth comes out.
But but we moved here when I was 12 years old. I'm 67, so
you're about as Lubbock as it gets,
that's
my
right,
friend.
That's so.
I was telling Ryan a little bit about an experience that you and I had together some years ago, and to refresh your memory, we were part of a delegation that was asked to go on behalf of Covenant Hospital out to California. It was one of the worst airplane trips we said unanimously that we've ever been on, in terms of every possible delay and then misfortune that you could encounter. Mm-hmm. And not only were we terribly late getting out to the Los Angeles area, but coming back to Lubbock, I don't recall exactly how many times we wound up switching planes. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it was not a happy experience. Long story short, I remember you and I standing in the Lubbock terminal. It was like 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. at night. Other than the workers, we mm-hmm. were the only two people there that mm-hmm. hadn't gotten our bags, our luggage, only to find out that it had been lost. But sometimes life has some unexpected places and mm-hmm. points where we have little detours. Mm-hmm. Adversity, misfortunes, whatever you call it. You strike me as someone who, in spite of whatever misfortunes or adversities life has to offer, you strike me as a man who is very consistent, loyal, and faithful. Mm. Say a little bit about that and where that comes from.
I was born in a Christian family. I was baptized in a Baptist church when I was 8, 9 years old. Faith has always just been a very, very important part of my life. And I've always felt like the whatever path, life's path I have been on, both personally and professionally, it's all been directed by the Father. The reality is, in whether it be life or business, there are challenges that come along the way. Every challenge that comes along many times seems to be even a greater challenge than the last one that we just went through. Wisdom comes from experience, and experience comes from making mistakes. And Lord knows I've made my share of them. From my standpoint, every time there's a setback along the way, or there's a challenge, or Lord knows I've made my share of mistakes, and I'll talk about one that I made on Friday, I don't have anything to do except to turn back to my faith. And first of all, thank God for the opportunity and for what and ask, what are you showing me? Father, what are you showing me from a life's lesson perspective? And how can I use this to not only improve the lives of people around me, but people that I'll be coming in contact with in the future?
You alluded to a mistake you wanted to tell us about.
It was terrible. I've always prided myself in, and I do a lot of leadership development, and I have over the years. I do leadership programs at bank schools, out at Wayland. I do leadership program. Matter of fact, I'm doing one this week. And so I talk about the principles of leadership and how you treat people and so on and so forth. And what I violated, a leadership principle, in that I was having a conversation with a group of people. I allowed a series of frustrations to take over my emotions. And I criticized someone in front of several other people. And it was, at the time, I remember getting a level of satisfaction out of it because I was so upset. But then when it was over, I went back to my office, and God started working on my spirit, and it was like, what have you done? You've just violated a principle of leadership, and that is you never criticize in public. Hmm. You criticize in private. You praise in public, but you don't criticize in public. And I went back to the person, and I apologized. I apologized once, twice, three times. This person forgave me. But it was interesting because I still haven't been able to forgive myself. And I'm still not certain that I have done everything that I should. And all the people also that were in the room, I've also apologized to them for what I did. But those things happen, and I'm thinking, well, maybe there was something going on in my spirit where I was off track, and it manifested itself in that reaction. And again, I can't go back and redo it, but I can try to do something and try to make something good out of it.
We're talking to David Simon. David, you said you're 67 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 36, and to hear you confessing that you've broken your own leadership principles, that's a little disconcerting for someone like me who has a long ways to go. But on the other hand, even as you're talking, it seems like you are demonstrating something that is just as maybe important. It's humility, a sense of recognizing that we all fall and stumble and need forgiveness.
I know you're right. Because that's one of the things that was on my heart this week, is that, remember, I mentioned how God directs I've always believed God's directing my path, and He knows my heart. But I also, one of the things that occurred to me, what are you telling me? What are you telling me? How did that happen? And one of the things that kept coming back is, David, that pride thing had been kind of kicking in pretty good in terms of my attitude about things have been going pretty well. And all of a sudden, I've kind of taken my eye off the ball in terms of my spiritual fate, the foundation. And that was a way to bring me back. And I mean, I was humbled. I prayed about it. I cried about it. I mean, I'm not over it yet.
I can tell. We're talking with David Syme. David is the chairman of Happy State Bank in Lubbock. Mm-hmm. And we will be right back with more conversation from David and David.
You're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts, with your hosts Ryan Price and David Cruz. Brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine.
And welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm Ryan Price, along with David Cruz, and we are sitting here today with David Syme, who is the chairman of the Lubbock region of Happy State Bank, and also a friend of both of ours, and someone who's been a community leader for a long time in Lubbock. And as you were just sharing from your heart, David, I could see why you are so well respected in this community.
David's honesty, Ryan, made me think of a line I heard some years ago, or maybe I read it, but it impacted me. The writer said, "Every big tree casts a big shadow." And sometimes the bigger the tree, the bigger the person, the bigger the shadow. I really appreciate your honesty, and because it reminds me that even great leaders, and I would put you in that category, my friend, sometimes we forget that every great leader also is a human being. Say a little bit about that and what you've learned over the years about leadership, but particularly that leaders too are frail.
As I mentioned earlier, I do a lot of leadership presentations and so forth. There's a difference between management and leadership. I'll just start that way. And the reality is, none of us want to be managed. We want to be led. And one of the elements that I have seen over the years is that true leaders themselves are vulnerable because they're leading to a great extent from the heart, and they have people's hearts rather than the mind. And again, one of the biggest mistakes I do see from a leadership, people who call themselves leaders are really trying to be more managers than they are leaders in terms of inspiring people and so forth. But one of the biggest elements of being a true leader, in my judgment, is recognizing we're all human. We all make mistakes. Admit it, get over it, and move on. Where I've seen leaders fail in that regard is that people see those failures. They see the mistakes of their leaders. But when the leader fails to admit to the mistake, then people start questioning that leader in their mind and in their heart. Because they're all of a sudden, because trust is a big part of this, of leadership. Trust is a huge part of it. If people start losing trust in their leadership because the leaders are not being honest and recognizing when they made a mistake, admitting it and moving on, then trust starts to erode and so forth. Being a leader is extraordinarily difficult. It's extraordinarily difficult.
One of the things that Jesus talks about is the log in your own eye, that you cannot see your own stuff. Mm-hmm. How do you, as a leader, David, you're also in the leadership position, how do y'all have people hold up a mirror to tell you what you look like? That's something I'm curious about.
Well, most people will not. You have to express some level of vulnerability. When I do a leadership program, one of the things I do is I have a questionnaire. And there's three parts to the questionnaire. The first part is having everyone in the classroom to evaluate their boss and their leadership skills. The second part of that is to evaluate themselves on their leadership skills. The third part of it, which I challenge the people in the class, I say, I'm telling you, I'm going to be really surprised if there are 30 of you, that three of you are going to carry this off. As you go back to your office and you give this questionnaire to people that work for you and ask them to evaluate you and your leadership skills.
What do you mean pull it off? They won't do it?
They won't do it because they don't want to hear from people that are working for them. And it gets back to that servant leadership piece that Jesus talks about. The greatest servant leader of all that's ever lived is that in order to be a great servant leader, you have to get over the twos. What does that mean? Well, getting over the twos, man, when you're 2 years old, it's all about me. When I was 2 years old, feed me, put clothes on me, change my diaper. It's all about me. When you're in a leadership role, you have to get over those twos because it's not about you anymore. It's about others. And that's one of the things that is the biggest challenge, and I have to deal with it every day. When I walk out of my office, if I've had a bad day, I better have a smile on my face because somebody is watching me as a leader in my attitude, my demeanor, and do I have a smile on my face or a frown? If I have a frown, they're going, what's happened? What's wrong? And that is hard. As I made a comment earlier about the difficulty of being a true servant leader, it is hard work. It doesn't come easy, and you got to think about it every day. You got to have to work at it.
Ryan was talking about leadership skills, how we develop them.
Mm-hmm.
I find, and I'm sure this is true about you and any good leader, that typically what a good leader will do is emulate the skills of other good leaders, mm-hmm. and you become a student of those skills.
Mm-hmm.
But similarly, you also learn from the mistakes that leaders make, and you learn to avoid some of those pitfalls because mm-hmm. those lessons can be just as meaningful. Which brings me back to the point you made about the admission. You used the word vulnerability. When the leader is willing to be vulnerable enough to say, this is where I have failed, and you've given a great example of that. I find in our society, typically speaking now, that leaders are very reluctant to own up to mistakes. Mm. Sometimes
you see that in Washington.
Oh,
every day.
The political world, but mm-hmm. also the world we live in, the religious
right.
world.
Mm-hmm.
And we could give countless examples, mm-hmm. even from the sports world.
Mm-hmm.
Say a little bit about that.
I'm going to use the term ego. What happens if, as I've seen, as I have observed over the years, is that when people sometimes evolve, all of us have an ego. All of us do. And when people who have been successful in business or whatever they're doing, over a period of time, it's easy to forget that foundation and the things that got you there. And all of a sudden, that ego starts kicking in that you're not vulnerable anymore, and that you're above making mistakes. You're above needing to exercise the servant leadership skills we talked about. I've seen it happen time and time again, and it may end up being the financial piece.
Mm-hmm.
People start focusing on the financial side rather than the human side, where they built their business or built their careers or built their success on dealing on the human side, and then all of a sudden over time, the materialistic piece starts evolving and taking over. And all of a sudden, the values that got them there come under pressure, and that affects that leader's ability to carry on what they started with.
We're talking with David Syme from Happy State Bank today about leadership and mm-hmm. the way it intersects with faith, and especially mm-hmm. The idea of servant leadership. I want to talk a little bit more about this financial piece, the
sure.
money part, when
mm-hmm.
we come back. You are listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.
This is Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts, hosted by Ryan Price and David Cruz, and brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Again, today we are speaking with David Syme, who is chairman of the Lubbock region for Happy State Bank. And throughout the course of our interview, we've been talking about servant leadership
mm-hmm.
and vulnerability, and that even led us into some of the ideas of what David Cruz called pitfalls.
Mm-hmm.
And you, David Syme, working in the banking industry, money is mm-hmm. a necessary part of our culture. It's our currency. Yet there's this tension, as the Bible says, love of money is the root of all evil, not money itself, but the love of it. How do you go about dealing with financial matters and keeping things in perspective in recognizing that we can't serve two masters, money and, mm-hmm. and God?
Well, it has been interesting over the years since I've been doing this and seeing so many different people and personalities and how people handle money. I've seen people who have very, very little who manage money very, very well. I've seen people who have a lot who are terrible at managing money. I don't know if it's an intellectual thing or if it's an emotional thing. I think for the most part, those emotional matters end up taking over where mismanagement of money takes place, whether it becomes the love of material things. Fascinating. I was talking to our staff this morning. There was a woman in our office last week, and I was sharing with her. She reminded me of a person that I knew several years ago who was one of the bank's largest customers, and this person that was in our bank last week is as well. But if that person was sitting here, you wouldn't think they had a dime based on the way they dressed, their actions, their lack of being
ostentatious.
Yeah, ostentatious. I mean, they're just very normal people. But to a great extent, I think a lot of it starts, based on what I've seen, maybe at an early age, with people in their training. And I know our State Bank Association has done Independent Bank Association of Texas has done a good job of making available programs in schools for teaching people how to manage money. And unfortunately, we don't have enough of it, in my opinion, because if you don't get it at home, where are you going to get it in terms of understanding how to manage money? Some people, again, have a knack for making money. They also have a knack for spending it. And they couldn't tell you where it went, whether it's going to Las Vegas and blowing it, whether it's spent buying cars they can't afford, houses they can't afford. For me as a banker, as I am trying to make decisions around a loan judgment, if you will, one of the things we try to look at is how does this person, do they really understand how to manage money and how are they managing money? This particular, I know of a person who, a family that has annual earnings well into the seven figures. Their annual budget is probably $40,000.
My word.
Yeah. It can be done. It's just been very interesting over the years. Surely
you've seen a lot of people fall because of money.
Oh, no doubt. The Ponzi schemes, the Bernie Madoffs of the
sure.
world and so forth.
But then is it insidious? I mean, is it a little here, a little there, trying to hold on to a current status? How does one become a Bernie Madoff step by step?
Well, it is a love of money. When the value system is tripped up and the love of money and material things overcomes good judgment and the values that we talk about in terms of faith-based life and so forth, we get into the love of money and love of material things that, I mean, the reality is if I have a heart's desire to go buy a bigger car, even if I can afford it, and I think, well, I'd be happy if I just go get that car. That's what's going to make me happy. The day I drive it off that lot, if I just stop and think about it, I'm not any happier than the day I was before I bought that car. So it's just really interesting to see how different people at all levels of income, and again, as I mentioned earlier, some people with the smallest incomes are better money managers than people with huge amounts of money. Mm.
I know that our Faith Matters family will find those comments very insightful, indeed very helpful. But I want to go back as we bring our program to a close, kind of where we started. We talked about how in the journey of life, sometimes there's adversity, misfortunes, unexpected things that happen. Who's been an inspiration for you that has helped you as a model, staying on the leadership theme as well, to be a person that is willing to struggle through times of adversity and to maintain good values and your faith? Who's a person you look to or have looked to for inspiration?
Mm-hmm. Well, there have been many people over the years, people in history that I've read about, learned about, and so forth. But all of us, as it turns out, end up being a mentor. In many cases, we're not even don't even realize it. And in my particular life and career, it started when I mentioned I was moved to Lubbock when I was 12. My entire banking career has been in Lubbock, with the exception of 2.5 years I was in Amarillo in the late 70s. And I had an opportunity to go up there with a bank. And the man who was CEO of that bank, his name was Jim Cook. Extraordinarily intelligent man, had been a Fulbright scholar, strong man of faith. You know, it was not unusual to go into his office and see him praying. I mean, he was just an incredible man of faith. But what he did for me was not only observing how he handled people, how he handled decisions, but what he did for me was he gave me confidence. He would come in and ask me what I thought about major things that the bank was doing. When I would make a mistake, he would allow me to make a mistake and get over it and learn from it and move on. And I have often, when people have asked me that question, David, I've always gone back to Jim Cook. Last I heard, Jim was living in Colorado or someplace. But the interesting thing about it is I think all of us at some point in our lives can look back and identify a person. It may have been, in my case, it was that 2.5 year span that made such a difference in my life. I was actually, during that period, was involved in starting a new church in Amarillo. And my wife will tell you, I was not didn't attend church very often. I was not a regular church goer. She would go without me on Sunday mornings. We go to Amarillo, and it was during that period and working for Jim, was involved in starting a church. And I was at the Presbyterian Children's Home. They had a little auditorium. I would go in on Sunday mornings, set up the folding chairs, and then that Sunday nights go back up there and take them all down. That is now one of the largest churches in Amarillo, Trinity Fellowship. And it was just interesting how God used me during that period. But Jim Cook was the difference.
It's interesting you talk about leadership, and then you bring it back to the image of setting up and taking down folding chairs, which brings us back to that whole sort of your core theme, I think, being a servant leader and thinking about serving others first. Thank you so much for being here today, David.
Thank you for having me.
Again, you've been listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. If you've missed any portion of this conversation, you can catch it on our website at kttz.org.